Yeah. Here's our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Would you agree with that assessment, Dregs? The Leafs, you know, the way they're built today compared to maybe this date last year or the year before?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, aside from what Dubas and company did in bringing the pieces that they did, obviously the Maple Leafs are deeper, but I want to give credit to that core. You know, the core has matured. Matthews hasn't been as crisp this year. I mean, that's pretty obvious, as we saw last year and maybe even previous to that. He's had some lingering stuff, but I would think in the last, what, 3-4 games, maybe more, we're starting to see that zip. Like, I liked the head-to-head battle with Matthews and McDavid in the last Oilers-Leafs game. Didn't like it, clearly, in Edmonton, because McDavid and Draisaitl absolutely, you know, ran over the Maple Leafs. But Matthews looked engaged in the last confrontation. And I thought he looked pretty good, even though, you know, Toronto loses to a good Colorado team, which ground the Maple Leafs. Like, that was a defensive clinic by the Avalanche. So I like the core of the team. So you get Ryan O'Reilly back. We know what they've done defensively. We know what they've got, you know, in their bottom six with Achari, a big ad, and Sam Lafferty's a nice fit. The problem is we can't gauge, and it doesn't matter if you've had the disappointment that Maple Leafs and the fan base has had to endure. You can't gauge until you get into the playoffs, right? Because, you know, what does it matter? It doesn't matter until you're through round one, and then you're legitimately vying for a Stanley Cup. But the group that I see now, I think, is capable of contending for the Cup. I do.
Dregs, do you believe this team, the way it's built now, they're better equipped to win that kind of boring, neutral zone, territorial kind of game, the one we saw last night?
Not yet. not yet, to be fair, because, you know, there's still enough of late where, you know, they'll give up a series of bad goals. Like, they still have a little bit of vulnerability in their game that, I mean, I guess until you get into the playoffs, again, Frankie, to just further make my point, how can you be sure? I liked their game last night. I didn't watch it entirely. I watched clips and everything and doing my follow-up this morning. So I didn't watch it from beginning to end. I was traveling. But I don't know that you could be overly critical of their play in that game, could you?
I wouldn't be. No, I wouldn't be.
That looked to me like a team like Colorado who knows how to win and knows how to win in different ways, just found a way to lock it down. They found a way to just up the ante defensively and almost seemed to choke Toronto out at times. So, but in saying all that, I don't think that the Maple Leafs, aside from being disappointed and not getting the 2 points, I don't think they walked out of that game and said, geez, we let one slip. I don't. I think that's an acknowledgement of a game well played where, you know, one team just found a way to get that extra point.
Yeah, I see it the same way. I mean, there's been a lot of focus on the shots on goal, and the Leafs only got 18 on net. But yeah, Colorado only had 29. It's not like they got outshot 48-18. I think Colorado had to fight for space. They had to fight for opportunities. Thought both goalies played well. And, you know, ultimately the Leafs can at least hang their hat on that. And if you're Colorado, you know, Colorado's getting cooking. I mean, I think most people understand that. If you're out west, watch yourself. Like, if they're starting to look like the real deal Holyfield again. And that could be concerning for teams out west.
Yeah, and I mean, they've had their share of issue over the course of the year, a variety of injuries, and there's still a fair bit of uncertainty with Landeskog and whether or not he's going to be healthy enough to come back to the playoffs. And you've got Artturi Lehkonen, who's out for at least a month. But maybe that's just the experience of winning, though, right? And knowing that there are going to be patches over the course of the year, even at this point, late in the regular season, where you just have to find a way to endure, find a way to win, just keep that positive vibe going. And, you know, maybe you have to experience that. Like Colorado, we forget. I mean, they went through a lot of trying times. Like Nate McKinnon, I'm sure, backheads, you know, up until the point they won the Stanley Cup. And we know how tightly wired he is, and he runs hot a lot of the time. But then you see that game, that overtime, especially last night, where it was hair on fire hockey. And, those are two teams that are trying to win a game. So, you know, small victories, right, at this point of the season. Maybe Toronto does draw something out of that loss.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. So, quickly, Dregs, when you look at the West and where Colorado is, they're going to feel comfortable now. Yeah. I think they're getting cooking. They're going to get in. But you look at the Western Canadian teams, Edmonton's going to get there. Winnipeg is really starting to make me nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And Calgary is as well. Like, Nashville, I had written them off that they were done.
They've been on a tear.
They've won three in a row, Noodles. They're 7-2 and 1 in their last 10. They got games in hand on both these teams.
And, like, and they dumped everybody at the deadline. I mean, they got an elite goaltender and an elite defenseman, and they've got some skill up front, but they basically were sellers.
Yes.
That was it.
They
selling guys off.
When they saw St. Louis, like, St. Louis sold everyone, and they went the opposite way, and it was like Nashville found, like, they were rejuvenated after it.
It makes you wonder, though. Like, this to me, Dregs.
Yeah.
Even if Winnipeg just sneaks in now and gets roasted in the first round, that's a massive failure, isn't it? Like, this sounds like it could be a catastrophe to me in Winnipeg if this falls apart.
Well, and then you look to the offseason, right, Brian? And, you know, they've got the markings. And, you know, no different than any other team. They've had some pretty significant issues to deal with on the injury front. Pierre-Luc Dubois is in, then he's out, then he's in, he's out again. Cole Perfetti was a nice secondary add as a young player, a rookie. You know, he gave them a little bit of extra push. They were hoping at the trade deadline, and they got some good pieces. Don't get me wrong. Nino Niederreiter is an effective player. I feel like if they were healthy, that Blake Wheeler, as an example, would be pushed down in the lineup. Nate Schmidt, if they were able to add a little bit more depth there, would be pushed down into the lineup. I'm not putting all the woes on those players. That would be unreasonable. But then you see what Rick Bonus had to do with his top guys, right? With Scheifele and company. And at this time of the year, man, that's tough when you've got to deliver a message by sitting players the way that we've seen in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay at least has the luxury of being to the Stanley Cup final in three straight years and winning two Stanley Cups. But for Bonus to have to do that, That's message sending, and not just in game. That's a series of games where he's seen enough, and the only way to deliver that message is to do what he did. But I look then beyond what this year might be. I mean, you've got an elite level goaltender when he's on his game in Connor Hellebuyck, so he's always going to give you the chance, right? So we can't write them off entirely. But let's just assume that Winnipeg, you know, doesn't go nearly as deep as what they're hoping. And, you know, all teams hope that they can contend. What does the offseason look like in Winnipeg? I mean, it's pretty obvious. It starts with Pierre-Luc Dubois contractually. But what about Mark Scheifele? How could they... Noodles, I remember you talking about this about midpoint of the season, looking at the middle of the ice in Winnipeg and their top six, maybe their top nine, and saying how well-constructed that team is. And I don't argue with you. I don't. When healthy, they're loaded. But it's not working. And then you look to the offseason, and you wonder about Pierre-Luc Dubois. The speculation around Mark Scheifele is always there. And it feels to me, fellas, this is the offseason where they address that. How do you do it, though, if you lose or, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois isn't going to extend, and you've got to move that? Then how can you try and trade Mark Scheifele? I mean, there's so many enormous question marks in Winnipeg after this season.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, at least it gets easier for them. They won't have a crabby Boston team to play against tonight, who's lost two in a row and haven't lost two in a row all season long.
Well, I'll tell you what. The one bright spot would be that Kevin Cheveldayoff, I talked to him yesterday, wasn't going to attend that game. They used in Florida, obviously. I got back last night. He was staying in Florida. I don't think he goes back until the weekend, but maybe the veins in his temple will probably stay to a minimum if he's not there first half for that one.
Yeah, I mean, Dregs, quickly, before we let you go, I wanted to ask about the GM meetings. Yep. Anything that come out of there that was intriguing for you?
Well, the one would be the overtime, right? And the idea of extending overtime from 5 minutes to 7. And that kind of flew under the radar. Like, not many people picked up on it. And he was thrown at me like, yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about this. And then I did further exploring. And, no, they definitely talked about it. And in an extensive manner, we know they have the evidence from the East Coast League that they feel like it works to extend it. Less shootouts, more entertainment, all of that. And, you know, Bettman is big on that. But it's not as easy as saying, okay, well, let's roll this out for next year. You got to go through the competition committee. You have to go through the board approval and all that. Aside from that, guys, I mean, you know, it was the usual speculation, wondering about the salary cap, you know, talk of additional video review, but none of that is on the front burner at this stage.
Yeah, the extended review.
Like, should have seen the eye roll in the studio, man.
I know.
Like, it's so silly.
I'm with you.
They'll do
I'm
it, though. You. They're going to do it. And, like, expansion's coming, right, Dregs? Like, it's happening. Isn't it
like just team expansion?
I think, like, it sounds like Houston, yeah. Atlanta, like they're going to 34
Dude,
teams.
How are they not
teams?
Going to Quebec City? Like, how long are
There's
they going to dodge
there.
Quebec City? Drake?
There's not enough money.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you know the difference in the dollar. You know, if you're selling the Ottawa Senators for $1 billion, those are U.S. funds, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. it gets pretty hefty. I mean, I'm with you. One thing that I'm always reminded of by Bill Daly, especially deputy commissioners, you know, look at how many billionaires and counting that have stepped up to buy the Ottawa Senators. Now, imagine how many billionaire groups there are in North America trying to buy or expand in the National Hockey League. So just because we're talking about it specific to Atlanta or Houston doesn't mean that the commissioner's office hasn't seen dozens of these sort of requests or inquiries. But I'm kind of with you, Brian. I'm not going to say no. Bettman said yesterday that, you know, expansion isn't on the horizon. It's not front burner. Yeah, right. Until somebody says, okay, we'll give you $1 billion in a franchise fee.
Right.
And then the 32 other owners go, yeah, I want a slice of that. I'll take a piece of that cake. So I'm not among the chorus people who say it's not going to happen.
No, I'm with you on that. I don't know when, but I think it likely will. Right. All right, Dregs, we'll leave it there, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, guys, have a great night.
Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, whenever, like, you can't trust any commissioner, any owner, you know, publicly, Bettman, he's going to say it's not a front burner issue. There's too much reporting on it.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
too much. There's too much smoke. And, you know, he probably said the same thing when they weren't going to Vegas, they weren't going to Seattle, and it happened. And yeah. I think it'll water down the product significantly. It does every time you expand, but it's a lot of money, and owners want it, so they're probably going to take it.
It's just weird how these expansion teams are really good. Like,
no
Vegas
kidding.
Is leading the Pacific. Yeah. Seattle's in a, like, year two, Seattle's in a playoff spot, and I don't think they're coming out. I think they're going to be in the playoffs.
Doesn't it go to show you, Noodles, how, like, if you get something fresh right from the beginning and there hasn't been years and years of people just, like, putting their hands in there and muddying it up, you can kind of build something nice right from the start.
But they had to put new expansion rules in. I think that's a big part of it. That's why these owners want in and they're willing to pay the money, because they know they can sell tickets and they're going to get playoff revenue. Like, Noodles, you were on an expansion team. It used to be so punitive. If you bought in, you were awful for a decade before you turned the table.
Because you had to do it traditionally.
You were awful.
The guys who were exposed were on the outside of the, you know, inner core. And not even inner core, but, like, the secondary layer of the core. Like, back then, it was your 16th player, your backup goaltender, that type of stuff. Nowadays, it's like, hey, we're protecting, what, 1 in 7 or 8 players or, you know, 3 and 8. Like, it just, all of a sudden, you can get really good players right away. And the first year, a lot of managers made mistakes. They started trading players and picks. Like, Alex Tuck was like a side deal.
Right.
You know, you look at Riley Smith was a side deal. Marchessault, like, Shea Theodore was a side deal. Like, it's crazy. Like, those guys are pillars of the team or pillars of trades. Like, that Tuck's a player, man. Like, it's crazy.
Well, and the fact that it's a salary cap world and these other teams can't move, and you've got a blank canvas.
Yeah.
So you're bringing in guys likely on the cheap. You're not bringing in anyone that's making 10, 11 million. And so you're going to have flexibility on that front to sign free agents and to make deals.
Yeah.
And, like, I was thinking about it with the idea of a new owner buying Ottawa, and they're established, they have a building, they got a good team, an up-and-coming team. But wouldn't you look at Vegas and Seattle and say, like, if I'm paying $1 billion, why are they better than my team already? Like, what else can you throw in for $1 billion? So wouldn't it be worth an ask, like, can I get something else for $1 billion instead of just the team?
Who are you saying who's spending $1 billion? Like, for Ottawa?
Yeah, for Ottawa. Let's say Ryan Reynolds and his group, they spent $1 billion to buy that team.
Yeah.
And they get Ottawa, and Ottawa is not as good as Vegas was their first year, or as good as Seattle was maybe their second year. Although, you can make that argument.
Yeah.
But what's the point of buying an existing team if you can buy a team from scratch and they're better?
Okay, I will put it this way. All these teams, because of the way the revenue is split, because of the escrow, you are a money-making machine. You are a money-printing machine. So if your team in the States, certain markets are obviously different. You know that, right? Like, you need the gate revenue and you need all that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, these teams will make money and be profitable.
Yes, yeah, so the Canadian market, it's a great business. And that's why you've spent the $1 billion, is because that's the price tag for business.
They're set up to succeed. The owners are put in a position where you're pretty much just gonna succeed as long as you don't mess it up too bad.
What I'm saying is, just simply from a competitive nature, for simply building a hockey team, if you're buying a team that isn't as good as an expansion team, like, I could see why you would there'd be something about that would be bothersome. I don't know why, but it would just, like,
I know what you're saying.
What can I get out of it? Like, I'll give you $1 billion and I want 2 free buyouts. You know, whatever it is. Right? Like, I want to be able to buy it.
Good negotiator.
I want a franchise tag for 5 years.
There should be a sweetener. You're looking for a sweetener.
Yeah. I'm looking for a sweetener.
Dude, this guy loves side deals, and he's going to post about it on Instagram, too.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll get a poll going on Instagram. No problem. But I'd be thinking that way. What else? Like, I'll give you $1 billion.
Yeah.
But why does Vegas have an advantage? They paid 6.
Times
you know, like, Seattle paid $650. Why am I stuck
with
this
Jerry
team?
Franchise valuations are up. That's the first thing he'll tell you. He thinks the franchises are undervalued.
Shocking he would say that, as opposed to overvalued.
He's always said that. Yeah. He's always said that.
Consistently undervalued. All right, Josh Lewenberg will join us. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's in town tonight, man. One of the best players in the NBA. Legitimately one of the best players in the NBA. And OKC's been a good team this year, man. They've been waiting to turn that corner. They're turning it now. And Shai's in town playing down at Scotiabank. We'll tee that game up with J. Lew next.